You guys having a good night so far? Oh, fourth week, huh? That's rough. Okay. Well, let us pray. No, I'm just kidding. Well, hey, like we said many times already, this is Chi Alpha's gathering of circuits, and I know the Chi Alpha missionary out in Ohio University, and they actually call their main gathering Chi Alpha 2, like I think it's T-O-O, and because that kind of like begs the question, well, what's Chi Alpha 1 kind of thing, and so their Chi Alpha 1 is like their small groups and that kind of stuff, and so if you guys haven't had a chance to experience a circuit, can I just encourage you to do that? This is like one example of what we do as a body, but the circuits are really where you get to know people, where you get to build those bonds and those connections. And so, oh, I said connection, but you know, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, so if you don't know my name is Andy. My wife is in the back. Hello, Mrs. Erickson. That's a term of endearment. Heather and I are campus pastors with Chi Alpha in Dayton. We've been here for a long time. We were students at Wright State. We met here. God really changed our lives independently and then merged them together radically and amazingly and romantically. And then so much so, kids birthed from it, and it's just amazing. And my son spit up on my leg today right as I was coming up to speak. But he's awesome. So we have a son named Finn. And a daughter named Adelaide, and they're both awesome. And for more about that romantic stuff, wait till February, and we'll have some series all about that good stuff. So you can get excited about it now. So I can't believe I just said that. So, hey, so if you're new here, we hope and pray that you feel welcome. We were praying earlier that everybody here would feel just a tangible presence of God. I know when I feel God's presence, it's a good thing. It's a warm thing. It's an inviting thing. It's something that I can't always explain, but I want more of. And so when I came to Chi Alpha, like my first couple weeks, I felt different. Like it felt different than just my normal other Christian experiences. And so our prayer and our hope is that you feel that, and that you feel welcome, and that you meet friends here. And that's our really prayer. Oh, and also that you get to experience Jesus and get to know Him and grow with Him. Each week. So that's our hope. So if you guys, I'm going to jump into the scriptures tonight. So go ahead and turn with me to Ephesians 2, if you have your Bibles with you. Every week we're going to look into scripture. That's the Holy Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. Tonight's no different. We're going to talk about Jesus every week because Jesus is our hero. It's not community. It's not fun. All those things are great. It's not caffeine. That's great as well. But Jesus is the hero of our life, and He is so much greater than just, thank you, Jesus, for saving me from hell. That's like the small point of what He's done, and there's so much more to that. So we could talk about Him for all of eternity, and we'll get to enjoy Him for all of eternity in heaven. So Ephesians 2, and if you have like your digital copy, you can switch over to the NLT version. That's the New Living Translation. It's just a little bit more common language for us. And just to give you a little bit of background, this passage is going to use some terms that may be unfamiliar or may seem weird. But basically, it was written to people groups, and it was about unifying people groups to each other. Okay, so those two people groups are Gentiles, which basically means non-Jews, and Jews, which like the Jewish religion. Okay, so it was about unifying those types of people. But it still applies to us today because it actually applies to all people for all over the world, all of humanity, for all time, okay? So, So Ephesians 2, verse 11, and we're going to read till about 22. So, don't forget that you Gentiles, that's talking about non-Jews, you used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens. Now, that's kind of a funny word. Does anybody like to be called a heathen? No? Okay, that was an insult, obviously, and so I'm not trying to say, like, you guys are a bunch of heathens. That's just what this phrase, this scripture is talking about. So Paul's telling these Gentiles that they were uncircumcised heathens. It was an insult by the Jews. They were being mocked by the Jews. It says, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you, this is talking about them, but it does apply to us too, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from the citizenship among the people of Israel, or God's people. You did not know the covenant promises God made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. For Christ Himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people, when in His own body on the cross He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of the law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in Himself one new people from two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of His death on the cross. And our hostility, get this, our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to the Gentiles who were far away from Him and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done in us. So now, you Gentiles, and that's us, basically not Jews by birth, so we're all Gentiles here. So now, you Gentiles, you people, you are no longer strangers or foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone that is Christ Jesus Himself. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you, Gentiles, are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. Let me pray real quick and we'll continue. Father God, I thank You for this passage, even though it's thick with historical language. God, it is thick with spiritual revelation for us and relevancy for us. God, it means something to us. I pray, God, for every human, every soul, every heart in here, God, that we would walk away and this passage, this truth would have meaning to our bones and our hearts and our guts and our lives. God, would we walk away changed by Your word tonight? Amen. Amen. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about community. Okay, so you guys remember 2 weeks ago I talked about up, in, and out. Anybody was here for that? Up, in, and out. Okay, we talked about the in. So we're going to talk about in again. And don't worry, we're going to talk about the out and the up later. Okay, but we're going to talk about in again. But first, I actually like to have Jay Seidler, if you can come down and help me. And I need 2 volunteers that really like black coffee. And I won't embarrass you, I promise. Black coffee. You good? Okay, so you can come on up. I need another volunteer that likes black coffee. Okay, looking, any girls like black coffee? Emily, come on down. Come on down. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to have a little fun. Can you have fun?
No.
No? Okay, well, we need another. I'm just kidding. Jay is going to be our guest barista tonight. So I'm excited for him.
You're okay.
Bro-isto. Okay. So you guys can have a seat. Is there another chair? Could I steal that chair just temporarily? Maybe you could switch here. Sorry. We normally don't have chairs. Okay, so you guys can, how about this? You guys can sit your chairs wherever you want, okay? Okay, so Jay should have all of the details that he needs to have a good cup of French coffee, French press coffee, right? We got cups, we got the grinder, we got this thing, we got water. So, you're good to go, right? So, while Jay's doing that, I want to tell you guys just a little bit. So, how many of you guys know that we do mission trips, right? So how many of you guys do mission trips to Sweden, right? Yeah, a few of you. So we've done quite a few mission trips to Sweden, but one of the things that we learned over there is that they have this thing called fika. So who knows about fika, right? Who's never heard of that word before, fika? Okay, so I'm going to educate you a little bit. So fika is a verb and it's a noun, okay? So you can go fika with somebody or you can go have fika. Okay, so fika basically means coffee. So like me and Dan could go fika, and it's totally bro, cool. It's totally normal. Like, there's no questions, okay? And actually, like, me and Kimberly could have fika, and it wouldn't be like I'm trying to go on a date with you, okay? It would just be totally weird. Or maybe you and Dan could have fika. I'm not trying to set anything up. I'm just saying you could do that, and that's fika, okay? But, like, it's really, it's, the word is not found in any other language. So it's this really unique word, and we just, us Americans, we just loved it. But Sweden, they're, like, one of the highest concentration coffee drinkers in the world, okay? Like, they consume, I think, more coffee per person than, like, 98% of the world or something like that. It's just nuts. And so we have some missionaries in Sweden that we love and we appreciate, and I have an affinity for Sweden because I think that I'm born there, or I wish I was. And so I also love IKEA. And so one of the things, I was at IKEA yesterday. This is one of the days. So I was at IKEA, and I saw that IKEA sells coffee now, which makes sense because IKEA is Swedish, okay, all that stuff. But they sell this coffee, and they had this phrase on it, this Swedish phrase I'd never heard of. Okay, so do you guys want to learn a new phrase? Okay, if you don't, then you can just close your ears, I guess. Oh, just kidding. Okay, so I'm probably going to butcher this, so I'll probably have Jay help me better with the pronunciation of it. Okay, so I think we have the word up there. It's the only, yeah, okay. So the best way that I can pronounce it is potur. Okay, good, okay. Potur. Everybody say that with me. Potur. Okay, so it's kind of like, if you were to spell it like phonetically, it's kind of like P-O, like po, but not, you know, po, and then like a T-O-L-R, like potur. Okay, so you kind of, you half trill your R. Does that make sense? So everybody say it with me. Potur. Okay. So basically, I saw this on a coffee bag at Fika. I got IKEA. And it was really interesting because it said, like, have another cup or have some potur or something like that. And so I looked it up and I actually asked our Swedish missionaries, like, hey, what does this mean? And so what it means, what this word means, it literally means another cup, like a second cup, okay? But the interesting thing is it's only really applies. It's not like a refill of soda or pop or like your creamsicle thing that you got from like the Coca-Cola Freestyle machine, right? It's not like that. It only applies to coffee and tea. So I looked into this a little bit. So here's a couple of things. So if you asked if you want a potur, it means that they are asking you if you want some more coffee. It's more than a refill. There's when people come to Sweden, sometimes they even feel like it's obligated, like you have to have a second cup. Okay, that's not a guilt thing, but just like it's a cultural expectation. And in other places, when you go to a coffee shop, and I think this was like this when we went to Stockholm, when you actually order coffee, it comes with another cup. Like it comes with a second cup. Or it comes with like a gratis potur, which is like a free second cup. Or it's like a dirt cheap, like it's like 15 cents for a refill or something like that. Okay, so the whole thing that I'm trying to grab here. Is that okay? Give Jay the barista, broista, a round of applause. So why would I ask two random people just to come down and to talk about a Swedish word? Is it because I like Sweden? Well, a little bit. But the big point is community. Community. So remember we talked about up in and out a couple weeks ago and how that's the essentials of elements of our Christian walk, but it even is more essential as we grow. We're talking about up is our relationship with God, in is our relationship with each other, out is our relationship with those outside of our community. And like I said, we're going to talk about in. And I love that word, potur, because I feel like it's a powerful picture of going deeper in Christian community. I know it's something small like coffee, but I think it actually could have some meaning if we just apply this to our lives together, okay? One of the questions I think we need to raise and to challenge ourselves is, will we choose, side note, the reason I didn't make your coffee, I was really planning on it, but I'm actually going to go overseas in a couple months, so I had to get a shot, a yellow fever shot. So I don't think I have yellow fever, pretty sure, but I didn't want to get you any yellow fever. So, yeah, it's just a vaccine, so it's like a minor thing. So if you were to get it, it's just really small. So like a small fever. I heard it does, yeah, so. Or it turns other things yellow, that's what I heard. So you're good. Okay, so thanks, Jay. Give them a round of applause. So we're talking about going deeper, okay? I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that. Like, you guys know, you guys have had those moments when you realize that, like, I could really be honest in this moment, or I really could kind of be guarded, right? You might have one of those moments. Or maybe you guys have even had that in your history giving with your circuits. You're like, hey, I could really give, like, the whole history, or I could just give, like, the nice package history, and I'll turn it into a lesson for you to learn about my life, because that's a Christian thing, right? Anybody had those experiences before? Yeah. So my hope and our heart with Chi Alpha, but really as Christians, is that we would regularly choose to go deeper. Regularly choose a potor, a second cup, another meaningful conversation to go the extra mile in that relationship, to not stop at, okay, now we're good, but really say, okay, next level is going to get messy, and you may not like what you find, or I may not like what I say, but that's what God has called us to be, and that's what we get to be, because that second level, that next cup, that deeper moment is where God has more graces. He has more miracles for us. He has more things to reveal and to heal and to do great things in our community, because we do not just want to be a holy huddle of surfacey Christians. We really do want to be deep Christians where we have deep, meaningful relationships, not just conversations, but times together and moments together. Does that make sense? So a couple verses that I love, if I can share those with you guys real quick. So Ephesians 4, 9 through 12, I think we have that on the slide. So this is a just quick verse about community. So two are better than one because they have good return for their labor. If either one of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help up. Also, if two lie down together, what will, they will keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. I was thinking about that middle verse, but pity anyone who falls down and has no one to help them up. But I was thinking about, okay, that sometimes that's hard to even grasp in our own life, but I thought about it, and I think of maybe a better understanding of that for us today is pity the person who engages in Christian community but never really goes deep, right? Not like pity, like shame on you, but man, you're missing out. Man, I'm missing out on the good, deep things that God has developed in Christian community. So there's another verse. Proverbs 27, 5 through 6. You guys have probably always heard me talk about this. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. And if I could rephrase that, I'd say wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy kisses your butt, like over and over again. And if you want to look, like I literally drew a little butt on my notes, okay? Just so I wouldn't forget about that. But isn't that true, though? Isn't that true? If you have a real friend, will they not tell you the truth? Right? If you have a real friend, they'll shoot straight with you. And that truth hurts us sometimes. Sometimes it's offensive. I don't always want to hear what I'm doing wrong, but I know that that's a real friend, because a fake friend will just make me feel good all the time, or rub my belly, or pat my bottom, or kiss my, you know, obviously don't really do that, but you know what I'm saying. So, okay, so hey, let's look into this Ephesians verse real quick, and then we'll wrap up. Sound good? Okay. Okay, so back to Ephesians. Ephesians 2. So as we're looking at this, it hit me, even as we're worshiping. Actually, let me go there real quick. So as we were worshiping, one of the songs I think that we were singing says, "We want to know you, we want to know you more." That was like one of the lyrics, right? So we want to know you, we want to know you more. But then I felt like God said that, I mean, like he was affirming that, but he was also helping me understand that, what's the body of Christ? This is a real question. What's the body of Christ? Yeah, us. We're the body of Christ. If we want to know Christ more, doesn't that require us to know other people more too? If we want to know the full image of God, are you not an image bearer of God? Are you not another image bearer of God? Are you not another image bearer of God? If I want to understand all of God's awesome characteristics and who He is and what He does and how He loves people, me knowing other people deeply should only benefit that, right? Have you guys ever met somebody from a totally different culture that loves Jesus like crazy? It's awesome. Or somebody that maybe is from like a different denominational background, right? Like, I did not grow up in any like, you know, charismatic or outgoing or anything like that, but like, it really challenged me. And so now I'm looking back on my Lutheran heritage, and I initially thought, well, they're just a bunch of stiffs, and they don't know how to worship, and they don't want to raise your hands. But I'm learning to appreciate the fact that they understand God in a way that sometimes I can miss. Or they understand the reverence of Jesus. They revere God Himself. And even the formalities of some of their worship at Lutheran or all that stuff, they truly do revere God. And they hold Him in high honor. So it's not always stiff to be stiff. Sometimes they're just saying, no, we're going to respect Him. I'm not going to yell because it's respectful. But on the other side, we do serve a God that should be yelled and that should be championed from the rooftops and should be danced about, right? We do. That is God, right? You guys know anybody from like a super charismatic background or super like Africa background where they're just like, I mean, they'll just clapping for days and it's awesome and like literally your hands hurt because you've been clapping so long and you fake it and then you're like, yeah. You know, like your hands are raw, right? But that's the God we serve, right? Don't we serve a God that is creator of the whole universe that deserves to be clapped till our hands go raw, right? But we also serve a God that deserves so much honor and reverence that we could be still in front of Him for hours and not speak up just out of a way to honor and respect Him. But some of us, our personalities may lean one way or the other. Like, I have a hard time on this side sometimes, but I also have a hard time on this side. But when we see people serving Jesus and loving Jesus in that way, it helps us understand the graciousness and the different aspects and the attributes of God, right? Especially when we talk about people from different theological backgrounds. Like, I have a lot of friends that are super into theology, super into studying the books, and super into all that stuff. And, like, way more than I am. But I can learn to appreciate it because He's worth being studied. The Greek words of the Bible are worth being dug into for hours and hours and hours on end because it's just that valuable. But it's also worth going across the world and just serving kids porridge or food or things like that. It's worth it. And we look at each other and say, hey, but you're not being an example of Jesus. But really, we're the body of Christ. And so when we look at each other and we say, you're not good enough, or maybe you don't do it the way I do, so therefore it's wrong. Man, I have no clue what we're going to worship like in heaven. I bet you it's going to make me uncomfortable in some ways because it's not what I'm used to. But I'm excited about it because it's the fullness of the body of Christ. I don't know if you guys know or realize this, but Americans will probably be outnumbered in heaven. Like, hardcore, okay? Like, pick any other country, you know, China or India or Africa. Like, there's going to be a lot of other, you know, not people that look like me in heaven, and they're going to be worshiping like crazy, and I'm going to have to get on board because it's like I'm going to be outnumbered. But God is worth it, right? God is so worth it. Okay, let me say this, and I'll just wrap up. So this verse informs us about how Jesus took two hostile people groups and brought them together because of the death of Jesus. He literally took the Jews, which were God's people, like God's chosen people, and He brought who literally really hated Gentiles or non-Jews. It was pretty much racist, okay? They were so divided, so hostile, they were mocking each other, calling each other names, they're proud of their own heritage, mocking their heritage. And God said, you're all my people. by Jesus, by the death of Jesus, I'm going to unite all of you. And we may not get that yet because like we don't think in those Jews and Gentile terms, but we do have each other. And so what is God doing in our life right now? What is God doing in our lives today, even here on campus? So just real quick, I have a couple questions and I'm just going to run through them. Who is God? Who God is? What has He done? Who are we? And what do we do? So this verse, like many other verses, explain and help us understand who God is. So it's not just about, okay, let's just be a better community because we can try harder. It's about who is God? What has He done? Now who are we and what do we get to do? And this verse helps us understand a part of that. So who is God? God is our Father. Okay, it talks about the Father God in this passage. What has He done? He literally has united us spiritually and physically through Jesus. Who are we? Who does that make us? That makes us brothers and sisters. So you're a sister, you're a brother, you're a sister, you're a brother. It doesn't matter about political leaning. It doesn't matter about theological leaning. It doesn't matter about how you want to worship God or how I want to worship God or if you like tea and I like coffee, right? It's so much deeper than that. And lastly, what do we get to do? So here's the thing I just want to hone in on. We get to embrace and live out our new identity. Because God has sent His Son, Jesus, to unite us spiritually, physically, as humanity, we get the awesome and wonderful opportunity to live that out and to embrace that. It's not a should. It's not a you should live better or you should not fight with your roommate because Jesus is good. No, Jesus has already done the work. Jesus already died to unite us together. So how do we bring this really, really, like really home, okay? And take it out of the slides, take it out of the theological, all that stuff. So we're going to close in circuits, so we're going to divide up into circuits, and I'm going to give you guys instructions for that just in a minute. But before we do that, I'm actually going to have Dimitri come down and just share a quick testimony. Give him a round of applause if you would. So I realize many of you guys are at different points in where you're at with community, not just this community, but following Jesus, all that stuff. And so I asked Dimitri to just share a little bit about his story and what God's doing in his story. And I think it will help us not only give attention to Jesus, but it'll help us kind of figure out how we can respond to this. So, sound good? Hey, thanks for coming down. Do you want a cup of coffee or anything?
No.
You good? You good? Okay, I don't blame you. So, can you tell me or tell us a little bit about like your life and your relationships and just friendships and just kind of give us some backstory about who Dimitri is and, you know, how you got here?
Yeah.
Is that what we're saying?
So, hi, I'm Dimitri. Basically...
And you're a senior, right?
I'm a senior.
4 years, yeah.
Super old. Hey, Jimmy. How you doing? So, basically, all right, so, yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
So, who here has ever, like, walked on campus with me? All right, how many of you guys have been so mad because we have to stop, like, 12 times because I know literally everyone? Yeah. So, I know, like, a lot of people. And it's just out of like meeting people. I used to be an RA, and that was a lot of fun. And I just have met tons of people throughout different like stages of life. But kind of what has been like revealed to me lately, it's just kind of like, what has my community looked like? So I knew a lot of people, I knew, talked to a lot of people, but I didn't really get anything below surface level with people. Besides like a few people here and there, that I hung out with all the time.
And you mentioned there were some reasons for that.
Yeah.
Can I share that?
Yeah. Okay. So, a little bit about like my backstory. So growing up, I was an Army brat. So I grew up kind of without my dad. Like he was still around, but he was like gone in a different state. So I kind of grew up in like a whole woman household with my mom and my two older sisters. And then through high school, I had my best friend was a girl.
Not a girlfriend.
No.
A girl.
That was a friend. Right.
Yes.
Her name was Jordan. She was cool people. And then also like here now, I'm a middle childhood education major. So literally my major is taken over by girls. Like I have a class now that's only girls. Like I'm the only guy there. So I've just been like my whole life surrounded by women. And so that's just like what has been comfortable for me. So as a freshman, like we have our community where we're involved with circuits. And I had a great guy group of friends. I had a friend named Jay who's graduated now and a friend named Daniel. He was on staff last year that I really connected with. But my sophomore year, I worked as an RA, so I didn't have a whole lot of free time, not a whole lot of time to like hang out. I would still see them. But they were getting older. I was getting older. We kind of drifted. And last year, also I didn't have a whole lot of free time because I was still an RA and super busy all the time. I worked with Four Paws for Ability, tons of dogs. Also like the only guy in there. I don't know why guys don't like dogs, but whatever. And so just from that, what I've just become really comfortable with is just hanging out with girls all the time. Because that's just what's been in my life. That's what I've been like surrounded by. It's like normal. But what kind of has been revealed to me lately is that's not healthy. It's not good for you because it's hard to connect when they can't really be in the same shoes as you. They're not going through like the same life stages. And it's just hard to connect in that sense, to build that community when they're not going through the same things. Like, they don't have to worry about, like, I don't know, looking for a girlfriend or... knowing how to rock good bow ties. I don't know. But it's just, like, it's hard to connect. And that's kind of something that's been working on my life lately is trying to figure out, like, how do I connect with my bros? Like, my bros in my circuit, Dylan over there. Wave your hand, Dylan. We're connecting.
I feel it, right?
Right. So it's just that sense of community is what I'm, like, working on building, and it's something that's really been revealed in my life lately. I'm just trying to push towards that.
Yeah. And you, this is just recent, like, how, like, last like 2 years it's been recent, or how recent is it's been like God's been helping you see this?
Like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. So you've been in Chi Alpha for like 4 years.
Right.
And been involved in a circuit for like 4 years, and then this is like big revelation that's super fresh and you don't even have all the answers. It's just like it's raw to you right now.
Right.
Okay. Cool. Well, I'm super excited. I think that's what I think God's gonna do a lot in that. And so can you guys appreciate him? So I asked Dimitri to come down because partly because I was so impressed when he shared that with me just a couple weeks ago, just his honesty. And I have a really similar story. I won't go back into it, but like my friends in high school were, I had like super close girlfriends, but I didn't want to date them and all these, like, it was very similar, that stuff. And for the reason, that's just what I was. But it was really tough for me to engage into deep brotherhood. And it took me a long time. And it's just, I'm just super encouraged that somebody who's been in Chi Alpha for 4 years is still listening to God and still hearing tough stuff, still hearing meaningful things. And so if a senior, like beloved Dimitri, can hear that, right, I think that God may have a few things for the rest of us, staff or juniors or sophomores or freshmen, right, that he may have another cup
for us to dig into, right? So I'm going to ask you guys right now, could you guys break into circuits? And I think whoever circuits you guys are into, maybe they could come down. So leaders, you could like raise your hand and maybe just find a spot. And you guys can break into that now. And if you don't have a circuit, have one of the circuit leaders just kind of keep your eyes out and you can grab somebody that looks like they're not connected yet. And then we'll finish our time in prayer here.